It's the Plus One podcast from All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton, and this is the very first song that I ever heard by the singer Elliott Smith. It's called Between the Bars, and when I first heard it, it just blew me away.
Drink up, baby, stay up all night with the things you could do. You won't, but you might. The potential you'll be that you'll never see. The promises you'll only make. Drink up with me now and forget all about the pressure of days. Do what I say and I'll make you okay. And drive them away, the images stuck in your head.
Like a lot of people, I first heard the song and discovered the music of Elliott Smith in the 1997 film Good Will Hunting. It really stood out at the time because it was just the complete opposite of all the other music that was popular at the time, particularly loud guitars and grunge rock. And this song, Between the Bars, probably more than any other song Elliott Smith did, really launched his career. And then just a few years later, in 2003, Elliott Smith died tragically. He was only 34 years old. And in all the years since then, fans have been able to hear more music from Elliott Smith, largely due to the work of Larry Crane. He is the chief archivist of the Elliott Smith estate. He's also a longtime friend of Elliott Smith. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the album that this song, Between the Bars, is from. The record's called Either Or. And to mark the occasion, the label Kill Rock Stars is putting out an extended version of it that has some previously unreleased tracks, and all the songs, the original songs, have been remastered. Larry Crane is the one who put together this package, so I called him up at his home studio in Portland, Oregon. I was in our Washington, D.C. studios, and I just wanted to talk with him about the challenges of changing or messing with the sound of songs that were loved so much, in part because they were very lo-fi. Larry shares some of his memories of working with Elliott Smith and what it was like to revisit this record. But before we got into all that, there was one problem we had to resolve. So first of all, before we do anything else, maybe you can clear up a debate that we've been having here in the office, particularly between Bob Boyle and me, that we've been having, and that is how to pronounce the name of this record. Is it Either or is it Either Or?
That's crazy. I've never...
Which, do you have a preference? Did Elliott have a preference?
You know what? The best way to solve that dispute is to go to the song Either Or on New Moon and play that, because here you hear him pronounce it.
And New Moon is the compilation disc of previously unreleased songs that came out in 2007. Let's see here.
You're strong, you're stubborn now. Bitter, endless, symbolic war. Brave or poor, either or.
Either or. It's officially Either Or.
I think that, you know what's really interesting about that is that's exactly the kind of thing that Elliott had such a wonderful sense of humor, and we would just be sitting around the studio laughing when we weren't recording people or working on his stuff, and we'd go out and have drinks and we'd laugh, and that's the kind of thing. If he was here, like, he'd be making jokes and laughing. One time he used to run around playing the guitar and singing Autumn Almanac by the Kinks. And, you know, yes, it's by Autumn Almanac. You know, he'd do the yak part really exaggerated. And he thought it was hilarious, you know. And I think that's really indicative of with a great artist, you have a very rounded person delivering the lyrics and the music and the art. I mean, I think of people like John Lennon, like, you can think of humor in his songs, you can think of just love in his songs, you can think of all these different feelings, and the wider scope of humanity is represented than just, like, you know, baby, I love you, let's dance, you know. And I think Elliott had that, and you feel it. You feel that it's not just one narrow view of life.
So let's talk about how you started to dig into the whole process of remastering Either Or. Did you start with the multi-track recordings and break them apart and start working with those pieces, or did you just work with the songs that were already finished?
The one thing we didn't do was we didn't remix anything. So nothing is taken from multi-tracks and then and trying to better the actual mixing that had happened with him. So one thing that I really had was the bonus material. Yeah, I had to remix all that. But the actual album, there's no remixing involved. And in fact, I went and experimented with remixing things. And, you know, it just seemed so wrong. It was like the wrong thing to do. I did a remix of Between the Bars a couple of years ago, just for my own curiosity. And I was able to make it sound cleaner. And there's kind of a fuzziness to it or something that in the version that's on the record and always will be probably. And I was able to go to the multi-tracks and kind of bring out a little brighter guitar and open up some sounds. And, you know, that's not always necessarily the better thing emotionally. If you start with Speed Trials, that's recorded on a 4-track cassette recorder, like in an apartment. And everything's played very quietly. And so there's this sort of this intimacy to the recording and also the murkiness of the cassette. It's not quite as much fidelity as the other tracks on the album, as far as like the high end and the clarity of things. But it also gives it a mood, doesn't it? It has a certain like dark late night feel to the track. So I think to try to take some, if you took some of those things away, you kind of lose parts of the album, you know.
Let's listen to a little bit of Speed Trials. This is the opening cut to the record, and this is the remastered version. So since this is the remastered version, it definitely has a little more weight to it. But I'm wondering, like, one of the things, like you said, that was so appealing about Elliott Smith's music was the very lo-fi feel to it. You know, there was always a little bit of a tape hiss, and it felt very intimate. Did you work on these digitally? Did you transfer all the files to digital, a digital format, or did you keep working on analog tape?
Well, ironically, the mixes for this entire record were done to digital audio tape, DAT format, which is digital. So all the mixes that were done for the record, for the making of the record 20 years ago, were mixed to digital. So yeah, I had those digital audio tapes transferred straight across digital, which doesn't change the sound of them at all. One of the problems was that they'd use these digital audio tape, the DAT machines, and mixed into them, and they didn't have the best converters going from analog to digital on a lot of these units. Elliott was using a Panasonic SV3800, and the converters going in that transfer that analog signal to digital, that's one of the most important parts of digital recording.
Before we get into too much technical stuff about how you rework these songs, I think the whole mastering process, what it means to remaster a record, is a complete mystery to most people. Maybe you can explain a little bit about what the whole point of remastering is and how exactly it works.
Yeah, I mean, remastering could be anything. It could be just making, I mean, the obvious stupid thing is to make something louder and brighter. And I think you do encounter that sometimes in a remastered version of an album that's already been out. You know, you can hear a shrillness if it's not done well. God, it's hard to explain. But for me, it was like trying to just make it present the record fuller, clearer, and better, and to really have it feel a little stronger, a listen, and more emotional, I believe. There was kind of a gauze, like we kept thinking there was a gauziness to the album that wasn't charming. It wasn't the same gauziness you hear on Speed Trials where it's recorded on a cassette and there's cassette wobble and stuff. It was something slightly missing in the top end that was sort of veiled, and I think that really had something to do with some of the older converters being used. When we started kind of clearing up a few things with that and using better equipment and that, I think we were able to just deliver a better sounding record, like a little more depth to it, and I think emotionally people can feel that.
Let's take a song from the record that you think is a good example of the remastering process, what happened to these songs after you reworked them.
Yeah, No Name Number 5 was one where it really, I felt the song was always kind of lacking on the album as it had been presented before.
Got big fingernails and a head full of the past. Everybody's gone at last. Sweet, sweet smile. It's fading fast, 'cause everybody's gone at last. Don't get upset about it. No, not it. There's nothing wrong. Wasn't wrong before. Had a second alone with a chance let pass.
I had to get to the drop. I couldn't pull the volume down until that drop kicked in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is just an extraordinary song from Elliott Smith, and certainly my all-time favorite.
Well, I always felt like it was kind of not really present on the record before. I felt like it was... there's a song called Long, Long, Long on the White Album by George Harrison, and it always felt like the song was missing until I heard like a more recent remaster. Like it was just kind of wispy and not there, and I felt like No Name Number 5 was kind of similar. You kind of didn't hear it fully, and the thing that I've tried to do, it was the song that we probably did the most mastering to in a way, and trying to really make it hit harder when the drop happens there. And also to make the vocals a little more present in the early verses where there's no drums. So you're not like, because you sing in legato and long notes, sometimes you don't hear the words as clear. You know, just that's kind of a fact of music. So I wanted to make sure it really felt present and you heard the words a little more.
One of the things that I thought when I heard that this record was being remastered is I wondered if they'd lose some of the spirit, the original spirit of the music. And when I listen to these remastered songs, there's still a little bit of hiss, a little tape hiss in the songs that I would have thought you might have gotten rid of.
We didn't do any very much tape hiss reduction. I've got some really great tools. One's called Isotope RX that allow you to remove tape noises and stuff. But in general, that it can also pull some of the fidelity away, or it'll feel like it does. It's a pretty dangerous thing. I think we used it on some tops and tails of songs a little bit to make the transitions feel better. But overall, I can't remember if I used it very much at all, honestly. It might have been like tiny percentages just to bring it down a tiny, tiny bit. But still, everything on this record was recorded analog except for the mixing, which was done to the DAT tapes. So because of that, you know, there's tape hiss from his 8-track reel-to-reel, there's tape hiss from the 16-track. So there's always going to be a little bit of that in the background.
How did you go about picking out the songs to include on this deluxe edition? There are some live recordings of Elliott Smith and then a handful of songs that hadn't been released before.
Well, I went through a couple of iterations that I presented. I don't have the final say on what, you know, exists on a bonus disc or anything like this.
Who does?
It's down to his parents, actually, his mother and his father. They kind of control that sort of estate type business. But I can suggest things. So I'm on good terms with them, and I'm on very good terms with the people at Kill Rock Stars. And so I talked to Portia Sabin at Kill Rock Stars, and I was like, you know, here's one idea. And she's like, okay, try that out. And I made a disc and I sent it around and people were like, I don't know. And then I go, here's another idea. And I made a disc and I sent it around and, you know, and I just needed that feedback to kind of guide it. The first two ideas, one was trying to find the most songs that nobody had ever heard. It's like, there are some things in the vaults. I'm not saying that they're the best songs in the world, and they certainly don't, most of them don't hold a candle to Either Or itself. But, you know, it could just be a nice thing for fans. But it was a little ragtag, and sonically it was kind of all over the map, and I don't think it really impressed anyone. And then I put together another version, which was sort of alternate takes and some different things of stuff that was related to Either Or. And that still felt like too much, sweeping the floors. It's a very short bonus disc, and I hope no fans feel slighted by that, but it's also like you don't want to have like a 70-minute CD following a 37-minute album, you know, and totally overshadow it. And honestly, when I worked on New Moon, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, that really has quite a few songs that if you were to do, like, say, here's kind of an exposition of the recording of Either Or, a lot of the songs that were recorded around the Either Or time are on that as well. So, you know, if you want to listen to both of those, that really gives you a picture of all the stuff he was working on.
Let's hear a bit of one of the previously unreleased tracks, a song called I Figured You Out. And at the beginning of this cut, you actually hear Elliott Smith's voice, just a little snippet of it.
Can you throw me that big bread book? You're every kind of caller.
watching the fame. And everyone has a dollar sign after their name. And when somebody wants you, you treat them just the same. So go on and pick up. You don't care what poison you choose and what person you lose. And should it be me, yeah? Shouldn't it be?
I'm wondering, as someone who was close to Elliott Smith and a good friend of his for so many years, I'm wondering what it meant to you to be back in the studio and hear his voice like this.
That, actually, there's a great story I've never told about this song. His mother, Bunny, after I worked on the New Moon album and I'd mixed those tracks, she said, you know, one thing I miss is hearing the little rustling and the sound of him in the room, you know, before or after a song. And she's like, those cues made me feel like he was alive, like when, you know, he was alive then making those sounds. And so I went to mix this song. I mixed this song about 7 years ago, just so we'd have a decent version in case it ever was able to be used. And when I heard that stuff at the beginning, I actually some of that stuff occurred a split second earlier, but I made it so it was closer to the song. You know, I just edited some time out. But it's him and Neil Gust, who was the other songwriter in Heat Miser. Neil's playing doubled up drums on this recording. And you hear him say, like, can you hand me that big bread book? And then you hear Neil laugh. I mean, I know their voices. And, you know, I really like that because those two were the best of friends. And Neil's a friend of mine, too. And just to hear the two of them interacting, you know, I used to see that in person. You know, the three of us would be hanging out. So to me, I've been more aware of, like, those little sounds and stuff. And you hear some of those sounds on Either Or itself, too, like little rustling noises at the beginning of Pictures of Me or coughing, you know, at the beginning of Say Yes, I Think It Is, and stuff like that. You know, they're like cues that make you think this is just a person, you know, and he was a person. He was our friend.
What do you think Elliott would think of these remastered versions of these songs and also getting these previously unreleased tracks out there?
I'll tell you one thing, man, Elliott was always moving forward and moving forward with writing songs and recording them. That was his reason to live, you know, and I always think about that. When I was working on New Moon years ago, I thought if I'd said, hey, what do you think of this mix? He would have said, just let me rewrite the words, you know, let me re-record it. You know, I think it would have been, and it would have had to have happened at some point in his career if he was still with us right now. We'd probably be going, you know, can we do a little retrospective thing or such, you know, some of your unused songs are really beautiful. He didn't like this song we just heard, I Figured You Out. He thought it sounded like the Eagles for some reason. And I have no idea to this day why he thought that. And he gave that song to Mary Lou Lord. And of course he recorded a version for her Martian Saints EP, where he played all the instruments and then she sang the vocal, and it's beautiful as well. It's a slightly different feel to it. But, you know, there's so many songs, and he would, even when he was working on From a Basement on the Hill, he was coming back to some of these songs from this era, and you find him reworking the music with different words and stuff from things he had done at this era. So it's, you know, he was always kind of recycling ideas if he hadn't used them. And moving forward, you know, and backwards a little bit, I guess, too. But not, I don't think he would have been one to be sentimental about his own work.
You're someone who's worked with a lot of musicians over the years as an engineer and a mixer and a producer. I'm wondering where you hear Elliott Smith's influence today on artists. He's been gone now for, it's hard to believe he's been gone for over 13 years now. And are you still hearing, do you think you're still hearing his influence in other people's work?
I think a lot of different artists have picked up on it. I mean, I heard that Frank Ocean was mentioning him as an influence or something, and I'm like, wow. You know, Pink just had a song come out that sounds like 2:45 a.m. And, you know, all these things happen, you know, where he's referenced and such. Madonna did a really weird cover of Between the Bars. I mean, I don't think she even knew what the words were about. But I mean, that kind of cultural importance is sort of amazing, you know, when I think of just this guy that I would hang out with, you know. You know, I think he really, the thing that I really learned even more so when I started archiving everything from like his preteen era on through Basement on a Hill was that he'd worked so hard. I mean, and I tell other songwriters this, I say, you know, you don't work one third as hard as Elliot worked his whole life to do this, to be a songwriter, to be a musician, you know, and that's why he could play all the different instruments. That's why he could go in and like, you know, really fine tune his music and his lyrics and everything. I mean, he studied philosophy and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that builds up to that. The only person, interesting enough, I just interviewed Susan Rogers a while back, who worked extensively with Prince for a number of years, and she kept talking about his working methods and everything, and I was like, God, that reminds me so much of Elliot. And I find that kind of fascinating. You know, the music's obviously completely different, but the drive to just work was very similar.
Was there anything that you learned about Elliot or anything new that struck you about him and his work as you were going through these recordings?
You know, most of the unreleased things I'd heard over the last decade or so doing the archiving, so there wasn't like a new surprise or anything. But when I was doing that work, one of the things I kept finding was that there I would eventually find earlier versions of like say Yes or Between the Bars. That those two for sure have different kind of early versions that are just, they seem fine until you put them up against the one that's on the album and you go, well, that's obviously better. You know, it could be a key change, an arrangement change, just maybe the key change sometimes is just detuning the guitar a step or a half step, and it just gives it a deeper weight to the song, which makes the lyrics sit heavier. And it's just, it's such fine tuning and such beautiful evolution of a song that it makes you realize, yeah, he was working that hard, you know, he was like really trying to present the best record he could.
If we could pick a song to go out on, a song from either or to go out on here, what would you pick? Do you have a favorite one?
Yeah. I mean, Pictures of Me just changed my life. It's the only song that I actually did any work on initially back in 96. And we recorded the vocals for that at my home studio. This is before Elliot and I built Jackpot Recording here in Portland. And he came over with this reel, and it had two tracks. It was an 8-track reel, and it had two tracks of music on it. So it had all been mixed down to a stereo mix of the music. And then he recorded 6 vocals on top of it, which I thought was terribly excessive at the time. But as soon as I heard the music, if you consider my reference was his first album, Roman Candle, which is very stark and just acoustic guitar and vocal mostly, to hear this fleshed out arrangement with drums, bass, organ, all these instruments, guitars, I went, oh my gosh, you know, this is the kind of music I really like. It reminded me of the Zombies or the Left Bank or the Beatles or something. And I said, like, you know, oh, this reminds me of Left Bank. And he just looked at me like, you like the Left Bank too? You know? And so I had a rough mix cassette of this song, and I used to just listen to it with my friends at before Either Or came out, and I'd be like, I got to work on this. Listen to this. This is amazing. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the beginning of our friendship and working together, and everything was hinging on this song. And I still think it's just one, it's like the lyrics obviously are about, you know, what an oncoming fame of sorts, you know, and well, we saw all that happen. So it does kind of, it's an interesting little part of my life too.
And that's Larry Crane, the longtime friend of Elliot Smith, talking about the 20th anniversary of the record Either Or. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Start, stop, and start. Stupid acting smart. Flirting with the flicks. You say it's just for kids. You'll be the victim of your own dirty tricks. Yourself to tease and displease. Doors swinging wide, you walked into high. The your feet. Failure's complete.